just a character flaw. I got a character flaw. You never please a mom. It's just a character flaw.
Special night here on the download, a special edition of Character Flaws, where we celebrate sketch, improv, characters, performances from people in the Chicago area. Robin Scott's going to join us tonight. Also, Sandy Marshall, of course, who's in studio. Real quick programming notes: The Frying Pan, which is usually heard on Friday night here at 10 o'clock, taking a break this week. Steve Gadlin on a little bit of vacation to gear up for the upcoming months. So let's get right to it, shall we? Well, it's no secret that we're in the middle of the most controversial election, maybe of all time. Presidential hopeful Donald Trump recently coined the phrase blue-collar billionaire, as if to garner populist support for the fact that he's both a billionaire and not really blue-collar. But that rifled a member of the Downloads community and a friend of the show, our good friend and well-known co-founder of Dinner Bansky & Ross, the world's largest tax audit and accounting firm with nearly a million employees around the world. Ted's in town to, as he puts it, to touch base with Mayor Rahm Emanuel. And he was nice to swing by the studio tonight. Ted Dinner Bansky, welcome to the download.
Yeah, thanks, Justin. Great to be here. You know, at the time it took you to do that intro, I bought a country in South America. Went with Paraguay. It's fun to say, isn't it? Paraguay. Say it. Paraguay.
Paraguay. Wow. Congratulations, I guess.
We'll see.
Well, I mean, usually call in. To be honest, I really never thought you'd actually come into studio. So welcome to Chicago.
Yeah, traveling's always tough. I don't know, you know, if you know, but I never use cash. I don't really have a need for it.
Really?
You know? You guys still use ones and fives and whatnot?
Yeah, it's same simple premise.
I'll make a note of that. Make a bank note of that.
What brings you to town?
You know, I read a book on leadership, and it talked about how you have to be more accessible to your employees, you know, and going beyond just seeing their name on payroll. So I set up quarterly one-on-ones with some key world leaders, and Rahm made the cut. And I wanted to regroup on the city's parking meter contract.
Wait, so what do you mean? What do you mean? What's that about?
I just want to touch base and see how it's going. You know, I feel like if Rahm takes a closer look at the contract, it might be a couple tweaks, and he can boost some margins going into Q4.
Not the most popular. Tell us about your beef with Donald Trump. That's why you're here.
Sure. Anyway, it's one of the reasons I'm here. It's not really a beef. It's more the fact that, you know, he ripped off my moniker. You know, Jack Welch and I had a Trading Places bet on whether Donald Trump would or wouldn't win the presidency if he tweaked Viacom a little bit. And I said, you know, I'm the first blue-collar trillionaire, you know, and I think I heard about it and kind of lifted it. And, you know, if I was younger, you know, 80, I'd be mad, you know, but I'm, you know, 85 and I'm all about abundance and, you know, enough for everybody. You ever go to Russia?
I have not. No.
A lot of money in Russia. A lot of money.
All right. Okay. Well, switching gears, I have to ask you, with the recent developments in privatized space travel, the Richard Bransons and the Elon Musks of the world, they're building their own rockets to go to space. I hear you're getting into that game as well.
Yeah, you know, funny you should ask. You know, a lot of people ask me, you know, Elon Musk has his rocket, Richard Branson has his rocket. Where's yours? So I bought Jupiter. It's cheaper than you'd think.
The planet.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I bought it.
Okay. Well,
got a big red eye. It's my eye.
What are you going to do with it?
Well, I'm going to own it, aren't I? I'm going to own all the moons, and who knows? I'll figure that out later. But, you know, you acquire these things and you figure out what to do with them.
Oh, well,
like those Fabergé eggs.
I didn't know they were. Yeah.
It's a bigger egg.
It's much bigger. Okay. I know it's late, so I'll let you go, but what's next for the world's richest man tonight?
Well, you know, I'm going to go to Wrigley Field. The other day, I went to a baseball game, and I sat in the regular seats for the first time.
Oh, nice.
I wanted to know what it's like for the underprivileged. And you know those beer guys? I like those guys. They have a fighting spirit. I made a note to bring them on board if I ever start a war. I like them. Anyway, I'm thinking of buying Wrigley Field and giving it to my business partner, Skip's granddaughter.
His granddaughter?
Yeah, you know, all of our companies are owned by kids, you know, our kids. You know, the only things I actually own are my clothes, this Cartier watch from Jack Welch, and the housekeeping staff. Oh, I probably should have said that. I meant to say I love NAFTA.
Oh, there it is. Ted Dinner Bansky, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Jason.
All right. Ted Dinner Bansky, co-founder and CEO of Dinner Bansky & Ross, with the new business book slated out for the fall entitled You Should Have Been Born Better and Other Secrets to Getting Rich Fast. Thanks, Susan. It's the download here on WGN. We're doing Character Flaws. Of course, nice little segment where we have some fun with improv, sketch comedy, characters, performances from some of Chicago's best. I have to say, one of my favorite time of the year is when the Blackhawks are on. That's awesome. I love the Blackhawks, and I love that we have our own download contributor. You know, Cochran and some of the other shows, they get real, you know, sort of, you know, the Eddie Olchicks, the Jeremy Roenicks, the big time, you know, the Judd Surratts, you know, and we want in on that too, because we feel like, but we're always opposite the game, and when we're on there, it's a day off, so they don't want to do anything. So we want to get our own, and we've been very fortunate to have on the download in the last year our download hockey contributor, Javi Havavola. Javi is a former Chicago Blackhawk who played on the team in the late 90s, and he also early 2000s, maybe. He played in the New York Rangers system for a little bit, minor league. He was on the he loves this time of year because of the Olympics. You know, he was on the Estonia-Latvia team when for hockey. Javi Havavola, we kind of took him off the beat because he needed to work on his analysis. His analysis wasn't as strong as it has been in the past. The download doesn't have a great budget. We don't have a lot of money. But the money that we do have, we gave to Javi for media training this offseason. And we wanted to check in with him before we get to the season to see how that training is going. So Javi Havavola is in studio with us tonight. Javi, good to see you.
Hello, Justin. Great to be back. Thank you for having me back on the download.
All right, great. So tell me, I mean, you know, you're in the middle of the offseason. Tell us a little bit about what the Blackhawks have done this offseason, what we can expect from them.
Yeah, well, it's a great question. You know, even though there was no late spring hockey for the Chicago Blackhawks this year, the 2016-17 season remains a white canvas upon which players like Toews and Seabrooks will paint a career masterpiece. And while the Blackhawks will be contending for another title this season with many talented core players signed onto long-term deals, to quote Boys to Men, it was so hard to say goodbye to salary-focused deserters like Ladd, Dale Weiss, and Thomas Fleischman. And you know, I like Fleischman, and let me say, he didn't need the money. He didn't need the money.
Oh, Fleischman. All right, that's good. That's good. Nice little Boys to Men reference in there. I like that. Okay, so what can we expect? I mean, as you know, the team didn't go far in the playoffs. They got bounced in the first round. But do you think that they come back stronger this year?
Well, I mean, no matter who stays or goes, much like an off-year update to the Apple iPhone, the Hawks will continue to have a similar look and feel in the upcoming season. Patrick Kane's coming off his first career scoring title. Toews continues to lead the AHL's most potent attacks, and loyalists like Seabrook and Samuelsson anchor the league's best defense. You know, just last week, I was having a ribeye with newcomer Erik Gustafsson, and he said, Javi, let me get through Labor Day, and then I'll sharpen the skates.
That's great. That was great. That was very insightful. Very good, Javi.
Thank you. I want to thank you for the training opportunity.
Yeah, you seem to be on script. I mean, it's Nicholas Chalmerson.
Chalmerson. I will make a note of that. We didn't get to the names yet.
Okay. Okay. So good. I'm glad. I mean, obviously, the Blackhawks need to figure out a way to counter the St. Louis Blues. The St. Louis Blues, of course, in their division, not to mention Minnesota, and Dallas, another. I mean, these teams are going to be tough next year. Nashville has boned up. All of the teams that are the current rivals for the Hawks are not getting worse. They're getting better. How do the Blackhawks deal with the fact that they've lost key players, deal with the fact that it's not just handed to them like it has been in the past? What do the Blackhawks have to do, Javi, to make sure that they're paying attention to the rivals in their division?
The modern game of hockey originated in Canada in the 1880s, and the first modern indoor hockey game was played in Montreal in 1875. By the 1890s, it had become extremely popular and spread to the United States.
All right. Well, that's just a history lesson on hockey. I'm more interested in what specifically about the Blackhawks. I mean, what are they going to do? You know, Marian Hossa's getting up there in age. Do they have a sort of succession plan?
Oh, okay. Succession plan. Okay. The NHL long regarded itself as the world's elite, but the overwhelming superiority of the Soviet Union in international amateur play in the 60s led to a dramatic 1972 summer series between Team Canada.
Okay, it just seems like you're regressing a little bit reading from Wikipedia page about hockey. I can see the notes, but I feel like, you know, that's what the media training was for, to get us out of just reading random stuff off of Wikipedia.
It doesn't matter if you've bought a newly built home, a condo in the maintained community, fix it up the DIY squad at Home Depot.
No, that's an ad. That's an ad on the side of the page.
To answer the phone.
Javi, I mean, I need you to dig deep on this one. What do you think the Blackhawks, remember, eye contact, what do you think the Blackhawks need to do to bring home another Stanley Cup? Eye contact. From the heart.
Marathon running is an enjoyable sport for many people from all walks of life who devote their entire day to train all year round in all types of weather.
All right.
That's why the folks at Fleet Feet are...
There you go. We're fading them out. Javi Havavola. He'll get it together before the season starts. It's just a character flaw. Character Flaws here on 720 WGN, the download. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, you know, this is a big week for me, Pete. This weekend I've got the neighborhood block party, which I'm excited about, but I just moved to the neighborhood, so I really don't know what to bring to these things. Like, I want to do something tapioca-based, but I feel like that might be too much. You know what? I think it might be time for us to bring in the download's block party queen. She's a cookout queen. She's written a ton of stuff on this. You can find her recipes everywhere. Darby Mellencamp. Darby Mellencamp, come on in.
Oh, yes. Hello. Okay, hi.
Hi. Thanks for being here.
Justin, thank you for having me.
All right, so I have a dilemma. I have a big dilemma. I don't know what to bring to the neighborhood cookout.
I want you to feel confident when you get there, Justin, because your food is an expression of who you are. You know, like what you choose and what you cook and whatnot. And I'm a big fan of all things miniature. I just think that's fun.
Miniature, huh?
Yeah, just tiny things. Like, I have min pins because they look like pinchers, but they're so tiny and small. So anyway, I used to love to bake casseroles, but they're so big. And it takes so much time and they're heavy. So I started making mini, mini dishes.
Mini.
Well, the first mini is M-A-N-Y,
a
lot of
many,
them.
Many. Okay,
but
got
because
it.
They're so small, I call them mini dishes. Yeah,
right.
So I would say you should absolutely roll up with a big old tray full of mini, mini dishes. And I would bake them for you, absolutely. Or I could give you recipes and you could try it yourself.
Well, wouldn't it just be smarter to, I don't know, put some baked beans in a pot and then just make a lot of baked beans and just bring the baked...
No, I try to stay so positive, Justin, but I'm not going to try and throw any shade on beans. I like beans. I put beans in some of my many, many dishes. But to just show up with just a bowl of beans, people won't think, well, that's nice. It's nice starch. You get your carbs and everything. But, oh, boy, that's messy. Yeah. You try to put that on a plate.
Okay. All right.
You see what that does to a sloppy Joe bun.
Yeah, I was thinking, just should I just bring a substantial amount of one dish as opposed to many, many dishes? I feel like... Maybe because of my novice level, maybe I just bring a bunch of corn.
Oh.
No corn?
I like corn. Corn is in one of my dishes. Okay, so you know who I am. You know I'm Darby Mellencamp, okay? No relation to John Cougar. But one of my dishes, and I'm going to see if you can figure out what the name of it is, by the ingredients, okay? Because I gave you a hint. Mellencamp, okay? So one of my dishes has corn in it. It's got rhubarb. Think about what these words start with, okay? Rhubarb, onions, corn, and kale.
All right.
And what do you think the name of that mini dish is?
Well, it's just R-O-C-K.
In the USA. And I put it in a tiny dish that is red, white, and blue.
Wow.
And you could bring that. If you want to bring corn, then you bring R-O-C-K in the USA mini dish.
How many mini? M-I-N-I. How many are we talking about? How small are these?
Oh, they are so tiny. They're bite-sized. You know, like those little bite-sized quiches? I think those are cute because a quiche is nice, but so big.
It just seems, I don't know, Darby, it just seems like that might be attracting too much attention to myself. Maybe I just go in, you know, like I just want to blend in with the crowd. I don't want to make such an announcement with my mini, mini dishes.
Oh, you know what? I want the opposite for you, Justin. I think you should draw attention to yourself because you're special.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
There's an affirmation. You should rub it in.
Yeah. No, I thank you for that.
Yeah.
And I throw it right back to you.
Oh,
you're special,
you.
Too,
oh,
Barbie.
I didn't give you that affirmation to get one back in return.
Well, you did.
But it worked.
It worked.
No, I'll take it.
I'm just saying, as a normal, you know, block party cookout,
yeah.
Should I, you know, maybe uncooked hot dogs. Something that just seems like buns or it just seems like the mini thing might just be too mini.
Well, then don't bring so many. Just bring one mini dish for each person. They'll pop one, and you know what? They're going to want more.
Yeah.
And they, if you don't want attention brought to yourself, then you shouldn't have done that. Because then everybody's going to have their arms crossed. That's what I'm doing right now. They're going to stare at you like, why didn't you bring more of these mini dishes?
Right, well, that's...
And you said, well, I had the option to bring many, many. And they think that's funny. They would.
All right.
Just like you did. You're laughing.
I do think that's... The alliteration is great.
Darby's many, many dishes, tiny and delicious. Only thing not tiny is the taste. Fills you up till it hurts so good. Do you get it? Because that's a Mellencamp song.
No, I got it. It was, you've been doing that throughout. That's R-O-C-K, hurts so good.
Do you want to know what I live in?
Jack and Diane?
No, my men pins are named Jack and Diane. And sometimes when they do their J-O-Bs inside, I say there's a little pity by Jack and Diane.
Right.
But I live in a little pink house.
Pink house, right.
I can't stop.
Right. I've run out of John Cougar Mellencamp songs that I remember, so that's pretty much...
I haven't.
Darby Mellencamp,
mm-hmm.
Thank you, I guess. I'm not really sure that I got to the bottom of what I need to do for this block party, but...
Well, I think you did. You know what it is? I think I'm going to bring over a whole bunch of mini dishes, or many, many, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to bring them, and then you're going to be the hit of the party.
Okay, well, that sounds great. You can get Darby's stuff online, a recipe book. She's also got her new book out. What's the name of it?
Too Much Is Not Enough.
Right. Darby Mellencamp, the Downloads Cookout Queen, thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me. What a pleasure.
Darby Mellencamp here in Character Flaws, played by Robin Scott, great comedian here in Chicago, Second City, all over the place. You can see their annoyance and everywhere. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up Character Flaws.
It's just a character flaw.
His character flaw here on a Friday night, filling in for Steve Gadlin in the frying pan. Character flaws, of course, sketch, improv, characters, and of course, performances from Chicago's best. You know, I always say Chicago's best, and it could be the world's best. And I did promise improv tonight, and I haven't given it to you yet. So, you know, this is great because this is a treat to have such an international flavor in studio from the Australian improv group Juxtaposition. Rory McShane is in studio to do some international improv in for the International Improv Festival here in Chicago. Rory McShane, thanks for being here.
Justin coming on the download is ready for some comedy, huh? Yeah, great to be here. Really great to be in the Windy City. Sure is windy outside,
yeah,
eh?
That's not why they call it the Windy City. But the okay, so let's get you're going to do some improv. I thought the whole group would be in. Are they coming in, or is it
But hanging out with the guys in Parliament just down the street, no big deal. I was able to swing on over. So it's me, Rory McShane, head of Juxtaposition, Australia's number one improv group. Are you ready to go?
So it's just you.
It's just me. So fasten your seatbelt and get ready for a wild ride.
All right, then. All right, sure. Okay, and here's some improv from Juxtaposition.
Great, so what we do at Juxtaposition, we are Australia's number one improv comedy troupe. We just need two things. We just need a regular location and a crazy animal from the zoo. So the first round, could I get like a regular location, like a Dunkin' Donuts
okay.
or a Starbucks?
All right, well, how about, I would say, how about a coffee shop?
A coffee shop, what a great regular location, that's great. And can I get a crazy animal from the zoo?
Giraffe.
A giraffe, great. Let's take a giraffe in a coffee shop. What would that look like? Hello, I'm a giraffe, and I'd like some coffee. And scene. Wow, I'm about to watch some more comedy. Oh, that was great.
So that's it. That's
what we do. We set up the juxtaposition, and off we go. Let's do another one. Round two. Let's get a little more topical for the Olympic spirit, right? Let's get a regular Olympic game,
Pete,
and a crazy animal from the zoo.
All right, Pete, you got Olympic sport?
I will go with swimming.
Swimming.
Swimming. That's a great regular Olympic sport. Michael Phelps, wired for success. 22 gold medals. Now let's get a crazy animal from the zoo.
How about a aardvark?
An aardvark. Well,
that's good.
Great.
That's good.
What if we saw a scene with Michael Phelps and an aardvark? Let's see what that would look like. Hi, I'm Michael Phelps. Hi, I'm an aardvark. And scene. That's all right. we got for that one.
That's
what
it.
A
that's,
great one.
That's not even juxtaposition. That's just you're just saying the things that were thrown out, and then you just say it, and then you say scene.
It was a juxtaposed encounter where one regular guy encountered a really weird animal from the zoo.
All right.
Let's do one more. Let's get a regular, everyday, sexually transmitted disease.
Just
a garden variety out of the farmer's almanac. Just a regular, sexually transmitted disease.
All right. Yeah, I guess herpes.
Herpes, that's a great regular sexually transmitted disease. And now can I get like a crazy animal from the zoo?
No. I guess to do an elephant.
An elephant? Wow, that's a great. Well, who knows what that's going to look like? Let's juxtapose the real normal sexually transmitted disease herpes with a really red crazy animal from the zoo, an elephant. Hi, I'm an elephant. No, I've got herpes. And see, we are Juxtaposition. We're playing on Friday nights at 10 p.m. Come see us. Thanks for having us, Justin Poole in the booth. Thanks for having us back.
All right. Thanks, Rory McShane from the improv group Juxtaposition, a one-man Australian improv group, really giving us at least to see how they do it on the other side of the globe. All right. Well, there you go. That was Character Flaws. Sandy Marshall, good job, buddy. That was some good stuff. Did you see Rory McShane just left?
I did. He just took off. Did
it's
you
crazy.
See
I didn't.
Was crazy. I thought they'd have some more people, though. Was it just him?
It was just him, yeah. I thought it was, you know, I thought when I saw the press release, it would be Australian improv.
Yeah.
It'd be like nine guys, but I guess it's just one.
He's out in the lobby, like, taking suggestions for, like, regular buildings or something
yeah.
like that, and he like juxtaposes. But yeah, great to see you guys. Great.
Yeah,
great
to
show.
See you too,
Super
man.
Fun.
Thanks for coming and playing tonight. You had a good SNL draft. Also, good to see Javi Havivola and, of course, Ted Dinnerbansky in the 1% Report, the Blue Collar Billionaire.
They were back. Can I add one more to the SNL draft?
Yeah.
Dabney Coleman.
Is he alive?
I don't know.
Dabney Coleman.
I'm going over any rules, and I'm just adding Dabney Coleman.
Dabney Coleman. All right. That's true. That's kind of great that right at the end, we get to add one more person off the top of our head. Who would you pick? I will pick Ken Marino from the State.
Lou Rawls. Is he dead?
He's dead. He's died like maybe 10 years ago. So you're going to go with a musician? That just came to the top of your head? What about like a Kanye West? That could be good. Maybe a Rihanna.
No. Lou Rawls.
You're just going to go with it?
Lou Rawls.
All right. That's going to do it for the download tonight. Coming up, we've got a great week next week. We're back in the saddle on Monday night. I'm looking forward to Carm and Esmeralda, Leon, are going to be the hosts, filling in for Patty Vasquez next here on 720 WGN.